Before we read in Daniel chapter 8, and before we read, I want you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Our Father, we are eternally grateful for thy continued blessings and how our hearts are made to thrill tonight when we see so many who have come to hear the Word of God. We pray tonight that as the Scriptures are read, as the exposition of the Bible is made, that we would be hidden away behind the cross, that men would not see us, but see Christ, that men would not hear the frail, feeble words from feverish lips, but that they might hear the voice of God speaking in this hour. We pray that thou wouldst lift our sights to new horizons in these days, to reach more people with more of thy word than ever before, with the ultimate purpose and goal and objective of winning the lost to Christ in these days. Now bless, we pray, in this service and the proclamation of the Scriptures. May the Holy Spirit have right of way in every heart. Don't let any of us go out of this place like we came in, but may we be impressed by the Holy Spirit, is our prayer in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. Daniel chapter 8, I began reading at verse 1. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me, Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. And I saw in a vision, and it came to pass when I saw, that I was at Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in a vision, and I was by the river Euli. Then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram, which had two horns. And the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other. And the higher came up last. I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand. But he did according to his will and became great. And as I was considering, behold, an he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth, and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler, with hatred, with bitterness, with wrath, with bile, with anger against him, and smote the ram, and brake his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground, and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Therefore the he-goat waxed very great. And when he was strong, the great horn was broken. And for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of the heaven. And out of one of them came forth a little horn which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven. And it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away. And the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression. And it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto the certain saint which spake, How long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice? and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. And it came to pass, when I, even I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Uli, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood. And when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Now, as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground. But he touched me and set me upright. And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation. For at the time appointed, the end shall be. The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. And he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. And the vision of the evening and the morning which was told is true. Wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted, and I was sick certain days. Afterward I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. Now, for those of you who are visiting, we are in a series of messages on the book of Daniel. We began many months ago in Daniel chapter 1. We have come through now to the 8th chapter of the book of Daniel. Let me review very hurriedly what Daniel is all about. Daniel is the key to all prophecy. Daniel is called the beloved. Daniel has a companion in New Testament writings, John, the beloved apostle, who gives to us the Apocalypse, or the book of the Revelation. The first six chapters of the book of Daniel are given over to Daniel's personal history. Beginning at chapter 7 and going through chapter 12, it is prophecy. Daniel is concerned primarily with one thing: the period that we call the times of the Gentiles. Now, that period had its beginning with Nebuchadnezzar in 586 BC, when the armies of Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar marched against the city of Jerusalem, tore down the city walls, destroyed the temple, removed Zedekiah, the last king of Judah, off the throne, and carried the people into captivity, where they stayed until 536 BC. Then they returned back into their homeland and reestablished themselves as the people of God. But that did not end the times of the Gentiles, because the times of the Gentiles are still running their course. Jesus says in Luke 21:24, that Jerusalem shall be trodden down until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. When shall that period end? It shall end when the Lord Jesus Christ, the potentate of potentates, the conqueror of conquerors, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed of God, shall come in revelation glory to establish his kingdom upon the earth, and from Jerusalem shall rule over all the earth in his kingdom of righteousness and peace. Daniel gives to us the entire course, a panoramic view of the Gentile history, the times of the Gentiles from Nebuchadnezzar until the revelation of Christ. In chapter 2, there was that awesome image that Nebuchadnezzar saw, and Daniel interpreted that as being first the head of gold, the Babylonian Empire, from 626 to 536 B.C. The arms and breast of silver, the Medo-Persian Empire, from 536 to 331 B.C. Next, the belly and thighs of brass, the Grecian Empire, from 331 to 321 under Alexander the Great, and then under his four generals, all the way down to the coming of the Romans in 40 B.C. The legs of iron and the toes and feet of iron and of clay, the Roman Empire from 40 B.C. until its crushing fall in 476 A.D., but its remnant, its leftover, is even with us until this day. For Rome was the last world empire, and the nations of earth today that compose that great structure of Gentile power are still a part of the toes and the feet of the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw in Daniel chapter 2. In the seventh chapter last week, we saw God's view of this so-called colossus, this beautiful, magnificent image that stood high as a man. We saw under the symbolism of four ferocious, atrocious, rapacious beasts, the four great world empires, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. This is what Daniel gives us, a panoramic picture of the four great world empires. Remember in the second chapter that there came a stone out of the mountain that crushed the image, and this stone grew and grew until it covered the whole earth. And that is the fifth great empire, the empire of Christ. Now in Daniel chapter 8, Daniel tells us in the first verse that in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, this would be about 551 B.C., Daniel says, I had a vision. I was over at Shushan in the palace in Elam, another word for Persia. In vision, he was there by the river Ulai. Daniel said that in this vision, I saw a ram. And this ram had two notable horns, and one came up higher than the other. Remember the bear that represented last week Persia? One side was lifted up. The Medo-Persian Empire, with Persia being the greater of the two powers. The ram with two notable horns. And while the ram was playing by the riverside, the ram had come from the western world and was going, or rather from the eastern world, was going westward, northward, and southward. He was going with such power. It is unbelievable how much power the Medes and Persians had. You remember earlier in the book of Daniel, we saw that the walls of the city of Babylon were 80 feet thick at the top, 350 feet high, and the Euphrates River ran under the walls of Babylon and dissected the city. The Medes and Persians were so ingenious, they were so strong, they were so mighty, they were so powerful, they were so many, they were so great that they turned the course of the Euphrates River and went under the walls into the city of Babylon. This is the ram. In the zodiac tables, the ram represents Persia. Look it up in your table when you get home, if you follow such things as that. Some people wouldn't go to the store and buy a loaf of bread. Wouldn't even go and buy a suit of clothes unless they looked up their zodiac chart and see if this is the day to do it. Well, I've discovered sometimes let's move on with Daniel now. Oh, listen, folks, this is so rich. Now, this ram with the two notable horns, all of a sudden there came a rough, shaggy buck goat. And in your zodiac table, the goat represents Greece. Now, this rough, shaggy he-goat ran with such speed that it didn't even touch the ground. You read it there a moment ago. And ran against the two notable horns and broke them, and then stamped the ram into the ground. So fierce was the power of the he-goat. Now, Daniel says, when this he-goat was young and strong and vibrant, all of a sudden, that notable horn that came from between his eyes was broken. And out of it came four lesser powers. And Daniel said, dear me, I don't know whether I'll ever understand all of this or not. I must have some help. And all of a sudden, he heard a voice. The appearance of a man. We call this in scriptural terminology a theophany. You remember in the book of Genesis, there appeared in the door of the tent of Abraham a man. I believe that to be the pre-incarnate Christ. World without end. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ, in his pre-existence, stood there and said to the angel Gabriel, and there aren't but two angels named in the scripture, Gabriel and Michael. And God, in the person of the Lord Jesus, the theophany, the pre-incarnate, pre-existent Christ, said to Gabriel, Gabriel, tell this man Daniel what it's all about. And he began. And this is what it's all about. The ram was Persia. The Medes and Persians came together and formulated the second great power of Daniel's vision of the four beasts that we saw last week. First it was Babylon, then the second great power was the Medes and Persians. Remember that Daniel said here in chapter 8 that one of the horns was higher than the other. That speaks of the fact that Cyrus was the greater of the two, and the Persians, and Cyrus was a Persian, and Darius was a Mede, the Persian power was the stronger of the two. And Cyrus and Darius represented in that ram. Why, we said a while ago, they came with such fierceness and with such anger and with such determination and power that they turned the course of the Euphrates River, destroyed Babylon, and became the world power, and enjoyed it from 536 to 331 B.C. The he-goat, Gabriel said to Daniel, is Grecia, the Grecian power, the third great power of the great colossus and of the beast that Daniel saw in chapter 7. The third great kingdom had its greatest king with the first one that came on the scene. His name is Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great lived to be only 33 years old. Alexander the Great spread the Greek culture over the then known world. He was fierce. He was ingenious. He was majestic. He was powerful. No man ever conquered so much territory in such a short while as Alexander the Great. Josephus, the Jewish historian, tells us that upon a certain day, at a given hour, when Alexander the Great was on one of his exploitations and one of his ravaging attacks against the Middle East, that he had sent advance warning that he was coming into the city of Jerusalem. And the high priest gathered him some select men, and they all dressed up in white, and they marched out to the outskirts of the city of Jerusalem. And they had the scroll of the book of Daniel, which was written in the 6th century, and it is now in the 3rd, toward the close of the 3rd century. And the high priest and his men walked out to the outskirts of the city. And Alexander the Great rode up, and he was amazed that these men had come unarmed to meet him, the great warrior that he was. But they were not unarmed. They were armed with a prophecy of Daniel. And the high priest said, Mr. Alexander, I want to show you something. You didn't know you were written up in the Word of God, did you? And he turned to Daniel, what we know as Daniel chapter 8. And he said to Alexander the Great, this is you. And Alexander got down off his horse and did obeisance, and shook hands, and said, I can't fight against this. And the city of Jerusalem was spared. There's no book in all the world like the Bible. Jesus Christ defeated Satan, the archenemy, yonder on Quarantinia, when he stood and said, it is written. And three times he put Satan to flight with the Word of God. Thanks be unto God for such a sword. We are not unarmed tonight. We are armed with a sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Alexander is pictured in that he-goat with the Grecian Empire is with one notable horn. But soon in its strength it is broken. Alexander died at an early age, 33 years of age, in Babylon, in a drunken debauch with a disease before his time. He died. The horn was broken. When Alexander the Great died in 321 BC, his kingdom was divided among four of his choice generals. Cassander took what we know as Greece. Lysimachus took what we know as Asia Minor. Seleucid took what we know as Syria and Babylon. And Ptolemy took what we know as Egypt, North Africa, and Palestine. But that's not the end of the vision. For out of one of these horns came another horn, a little horn. Who is the little horn? The little horn is Antiochus Epiphanes, who ruled from 175 to 165 out of and over Syria, from the Seleucid Empire of Syria. Why, Antiochus Epiphanes was the most bitter enemy to that point that the Jews ever had. Why, do you know what he did? He took every copy of the law of Moses and had it destroyed and killed those who possessed it. He stopped the rite of circumcision among the Jews. He stopped the temple worship among the Jews. He put an end to the sacrifices. You heard me read it a while ago. And for 2,300 days, for about 7 years almost in Antiochus Epiphanes' reign, there was no sacrifice in Jerusalem in the Temple of Solomon. You remember the saint asked the other saint how long? And he said unto 2,300 days. This man, Antiochus Epiphanes, destroyed every likeness of Jehovah God. He built an altar to Zeus, the chief god of the Greeks, and to another notable number of Greek deities. He spread Greek culture and Hellenism. What he tried to do was to make Greeks out of the Jews, and that's a hard thing to do. That's a hard thing to do. But he almost succeeded. He had the audacity to offer a pig on the altar in the temple at Jerusalem. But God raised up a man by the name of Mattathias, who headed up the Maccabean revolt. This man met an untimely death, but he had five sons, one of whom was Judas Maccabeus. And Judas Maccabeus gathered and mustered all the forces of the Jews that he could find. And he defied Antiochus Epiphanes, and that little handful of Jews defeated the power of Antiochus Epiphanes and the Syrians. We call it the Maccabean Revolt. And they went into the temple, these Jews, and that altar where that pig had been offered on, they tore it down stone by stone. They took it out of the temple. They brought new stones in and built a new altar. And on the 25th of December in the year 165 B.C., Judas Maccabeus and his followers cleansed and rededicated the temple. Did I not read it to you a while ago, that after 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed? That's precisely what happened in 165 B.C. on December 25th. In the temple, oil was burning all the time, day and night. There was just enough oil to burn one more day. But a miracle happened. While the high priest went out and found oil that had never been touched by a Gentile pagan hand, a miracle was performed, and that oil burned for 8 days and eight nights. And ever since, the Jews have celebrated the Feast of Lights, the 8 days of miracle, when one day's supply of oil burned for 8 days. Oh, that's just like God, isn't it? Antiochus Epiphanes came on the scene then as a great and mighty power, but it doesn't stop there. For beginning at verse 23 and through verse 25, Antiochus Epiphanes is there a representative of a greater power. Who is that power? Why, he is the Antichrist. And that little horn of Daniel 7 is brought into focus in verses 23 through 25. For what is said here has not yet come to pass, but will come to pass when the Antichrist moves on the scene, of whom Antiochus Epiphanes is an illustration, a type, a foreshadowing, an adumbration. Here's a picture of what's coming in the future, when the man of sin, the beast, did not it say he would destroy many by peace? Read the sixth chapter of the Revelation, and the Antichrist takes off on a campaign of peace and demands that all men everywhere give in to him. And when I look around and I see all the word about peace and all the conferences about peace and all the symbols of peace, I know the world is getting ready for the Antichrist, because he's going to come on in a deceptive way and ride a horse of peace, and through peace he will destroy many. But then, in the middle of the tribulation, He will turn on the holy people. And every time holy people and saints are mentioned in this book, it's referring not to the church, it's referring to Israel, the remnant, the saints of God, Israel in the tribulation period. The church is not there. This is the times determined upon thy people, Israel. That's stated in the very beginning. Now, this beast, Antichrist, of whom Antiochus Epiphanes becomes a type, and whose picture comes into focus beginning at verse 23. Why, he shall be fierce. He shall be mighty. He shall be strong. He shall be magnetic. Why, he shall be so persuasive. He shall speak with a voice that will persuade men to fall down and worship him. Why, he will be the most handsome and the most magnetic personality that the world has ever known, except the Christ. Performing miracles, calling fire out of heaven. Did not we read in these verses that he would not have power of his own? He would be given power. Read Revelation chapter 13 and verse 2 and 3, and you'll learn that the dragon, the devil, Satan, gave power to the Antichrist, to the beast. And that's what is seen when we pass from the time of Antiochus Epiphanes to the end time, the tribulation, and the rise of the Antichrist. But wait, he will be so forward. He will take so much upon himself that he will even defy the armies of heaven. He will defy the Prince of Peace. He will say cruel things and blasphemies about Christ. Let me read the last part of verse 25. But shall be broken without hand. Who's going to break the power of Antichrist? The Lord Jesus. Without hand, without human effort, without human ingenuity, without human might, without human strength, without human power, the Antichrist will be destroyed. You want to read it? Turn to Revelation chapter 19, verse 20. I'll read it for you. Revelation 19, verse 20. And the beast, that is this one about whom verses 23, 24, and 25 is speaking, the Antichrist. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were slain. No. These both died a natural death. No. These both ran up against a brick wall. No. These both died of a heart attack. No. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Without hand. God will cast the Antichrist and his false prophet into the lake of fire. Well, the 8th chapter of Daniel summarizes then that second great power, Medo-Persia, and the third, the Grecian power, with Alexander the Great, his four generals, and out of one of them, out of the power of Syria, came Antiochus Epiphanes, who foreshadows the strong man, the Antichrist, representing everything that is anti-God and anti-biblical and anti-Christ. But wait. John said in his writings, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. For the spirit of Antichrist is already working in the world tonight." Do you know the only thing that keeps the Antichrist from taking over the reins of the power of the governments of this world? You do. You and you and you. And every born-again believer, this is the only thing that's keeping the Antichrist off the scene. The Holy Spirit in your life and mine. And one day soon, maybe tonight, Maybe in the morning. Maybe while you're driving down the busy freeway or standing behind the counter or leaning over the desk tomorrow. Maybe while you're asleep tonight. Maybe while we're in this congregation before this service concludes. A trumpet shall sound, and it will be the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm going to a place that's so much better. Bless God, up there the rent will never come due. There'll never be any taxes. There'll never be any funeral homes. There'll never be any crippled children's societies. There'll never be any hospitals. There'll never be any graveyards. The undertaker will be out of business. And we'll walk on streets of gold and wear a crown and be dressed in the robes of righteousness of the Lamb of God. Oh, Lord Jesus, how long will we shout the glad song, Christ returneth, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen.